support.
Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
You know, there's a little disconnect if you say, do I expect to win the nomination tomorrow or next week? And, you know, you have to be realistic. No, that's not likely to happen. I mean, all kinds of things do happen in politics. People, you know, come and go as far as their popularity goes and the votes they get. But for me to drop out of the race right now wouldn't make any sense, especially for those many, many tens of thousands. Actually, we get donations from over 150,000, and the enthusiasm is there. So it would be very hard for me just to, I feel like I was deserting the ship is what I would do, because their enthusiasm is growing, not being diminished.
That's Ron Paul explaining why he is not dropping out of the race. So, the race to the top on the GOP side is where we start this hour of our Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen. From Fox, Jamie Colby talked to political analyst Richard Fowler and David Turkey about Newt Gingrich's comments. Yeah, the guy's name is Turkey. Over the weekend. And the question is, are you preparing Mr. Gingrich to drop out of the race?
Right now, Mitt Romney at the halfway mark in terms of delegates. What will Newt do? I think it's more what he didn't say here than what he says. Let's listen.
He hit me as hard as I could. He hit me as hard as he could. Turned out he had more things to hit with than I did. And that's part of the business. He's done the fundraising side brilliantly. We are both, and I think Santorum would agree with this, we are absolutely committed to defeating Barack Obama. If Mitt Romney ends up as a Republican nominee, I will work as hard for him as I would for myself.
But he doesn't say, Richard, that he's not going to be running anymore. So he's still in the race. What's the impact of that on Mitt Romney and on Rick Santorum, for that matter?
Well, I think it does two things. For Mitt Romney, what it does is it sort of makes him the presumptive, GOP nominee. For Rick Santorum, I think it clears the way for him to say that, you know, Newt Gingrich is the non-factor, and therefore conservative. Like, if you're a true, real, red-blooded conservative, that you should vote for me, and not Newt Gingrich, because Newt Gingrich is basically throwing his hat in. I think what Newt Gingrich did, he came everything just as close to saying that I'm not in the race without saying I'm not in the race, unfortunately.
What do you think, David? Do you think he's in for the long haul?
No, I think this is over. I think Mitt Romney is the presumptive nominee. You're going into Pennsylvania, which is Governor Romney's, which is Senator Santorum's home state. He only has $1.2 million in the bank. Governor Romney's already spent $2.7 million on ads in Pennsylvania. Polls show it's relatively close. I think Romney wins there, and at that point, Santorum has to hang up the cleats. I think this moved into the general election mode a couple weeks ago when you had people like President Bush, Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, all endorse Governor Romney in the same week. And I think they're really starting to think about the general election right now.
So it sounds like the way you describe it, David, that things are on track for Mitt Romney.
I think things are very much on track for Mitt Romney, and he's thinking about what it's going to take to beat President Obama on November 6th.
Do you think either of these other candidates could play a role in a ticket for Mitt Romney?
It's something you can't rule out. I'm sure that they're going to be kind of on the short list. Rick Santorum is definitely a movement candidate. He has supporters that are as ardent supporting him as any candidate we've seen in recent memory. And I think that Governor Romney needs to work very closely with him in order to get their energy on board of his campaign. Other candidates probably are higher on the short list for VP, but I think that they're going to be valuable assets as surrogates in the general election campaign.
Who do you like?
As VP,
mm-hmm.
I think the first name that's been coming to a lot of people's minds is Marco Rubio. He's young, dynamic, fulfills a demographic and a geographic assist. And I think that there are other candidates that are definitely going to be looked at. Paul Ryan has to be considered. You have Governor Susana Martinez in New Mexico, is the first female Hispanic governor in the U.S. And then there's a vast array of governors from Chris Christie to Haley Barbour all across the country that would be great number twos for Governor Romney.
Richard, what's more important in picking a VP candidate, the geographic or the demographic, as David brings up?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think you need the geographic information, like, you know, where they're located and how that helps. But also, you know, sometimes you need the demographic information. I think for President Obama, when he was running in 2008, he was sort of seen as being unexperienced, so he found experience in the VP candidate. Where in other cases, you know, you pick folks that will help you do certain things. Under President Clinton, he picked Al Gore because Al Gore would help him solidify some of the southern vote. So I think it just depends upon what the race calls for. And based upon what the race calls for, that's who you pick as your nominee. I think at the same time, I think that, you know, there's a good possibility that Romney could fall into the pitfalls of just picking a demographic and not picking the right candidate, very similar to John McCain.
Up next, more from the campaign trail here on the Countdown.
My wife's monthly trip to the beauty salon was really adding up. I mean, between dyeing her roots and trimming the dead ends, we were going dead broke. So to save some money, I'm cutting it for her. While she sleeps. No, don't wake up yet. Go to sleep, go to sleep. You're almost gorgeous. Oh, she is going to love this.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours. All of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Some nights I can't get to sleep. Some nights I can't stay asleep. With Unisom, I can do both.
Unisom sleep tabs are clinically proven to help you fall asleep 33% faster and keep you asleep longer, so you get a more restful night's sleep. Made with an ingredient not found in other leading sleep aids, Unisom sleep tabs are safe and non-habit forming. Just one pill takes the uncertainty out of bedtime, giving you the sleep you need.
So I wake up ready to go.
Unisom sleep tabs. Fall asleep faster. Sleep longer.
Attention hip implant patients. Are you in constant pain? Have you received a letter from your doctor about your implant? Have you had or need a revision surgery? Do you have high levels of metal, chromium, or cobalt in your blood? Over 90,000 hip implant devices have been recalled due to defects and failures resulting in revision or replacement surgery. If you have a recalled hip implant, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-251-7823 to see if your implant is affected by the recalls. If you or a loved one has a defective or recalled hip implant, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-251-7823. That's 800-251-7823. Protect your legal rights today. Call 800-251-7823.
The attorney responsible for this advertisement is Carrie L. Steigerwald, admitted in California, office address 4350 Executive Drive, Suite 150, San Diego, California, 92121. Cases may be referred to or independently handled by separate local counsel for principal responsibility.
My report is about Alexandra Scott. She opened a lemonade stand to raise money to fight cancer. Lemonade. Her friends all over the country wanted to help. They raised over $1 million before Alex died of her own cancer. Life gave Alex a lemon, but she made lemonade.
Inspiration. Lemonade. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Talk radio and talk television in review. Here are our hosts, Doug McElvin and Debbie Monterey, talking to Paul Brandis from the West Wing Report about all the money being spent by both sides in the campaign so far.
We're beginning to see more numbers, polling data that just includes Romney versus Obama and vice versa, and I guess that's not really a surprise.
No, not really. I think some of the two big trends that are now emerging, in fact, are women now appear to be breaking towards Obama in a pretty major way, probably a result of everything that Limbaugh and Santorum and those folks said in recent weeks. Also, independents in the key swing states are moving toward the presidents, too. And, of course, swing states, that's where elections are won or lost.
Okay, let's talk about the unemployment numbers that came out on Friday, because the unemployment rate dropped, and yet we didn't really create a whole lot of new jobs. So I'm a little confused. I'm not good at math, but the numbers don't necessarily make that much sense.
Yeah, kind of confusing. I mean, the headline numbers are 120,000 jobs created in March. Not a lot, not enough to keep up with population growth. And yet the government claims the unemployment rate actually dropped to 8.2%. One reason for that is a lot of people have actually dropped out of the labor force in the last couple of years. And guess what? When you are not looking for work, the government doesn't count you in the unemployment numbers. So that's why the 8.3% actually went down, even though very few jobs were created.
You know, we had a story earlier this morning talking about one of the Republican super PACs that's finally going to start spending some money going after the president. $200 million. This campaign is going to be off the charts with the amount of money raised and spent by all parties.
Well, it really is, and if you own a TV station in one of the swing states, boy, you are going to be laughing all the way to the bank, because these candidates are not running so much a national campaign as a highly targeted campaign in the key swing states. So every TV station in Ohio and Florida and so forth is going to get a ton of money from these super PACs. And it's, some people say it's really just distorting the race completely because in some respects, the money these super PACs are bringing in is dwarfing the amount of money that the candidates themselves are actually raising.
We have a story this morning, Paul, with our Missouri Department of Transportation talking about what's going to happen with the transportation bill, which has just been pushed off for another 90 days. And in fact, there hasn't been any budget in general agreed upon for so long. Is it kind of cynical to think, well, they're just going to not do a thing until after November?
Well, I think it's probably a safe bet, Debbie. I mean, they passed a three-month extension just to keep folks on the job. So when that runs out, they'll probably do another one, and that'll get us close to election day. But you're absolutely right. I mean, these folks are so divided. They can't agree on anything. Meantime, if you drove to work today, you might have hit a pothole or two. I mean, just things are deteriorating, and Congress just continues to bicker. And yes, this hyperpartisan divide is going to continue not just till election day, but I think we're probably going to get a divided government come next year as well. So more of the same in the future is my bet.
From our Countdown affiliate WDEL in Wilmington, Delaware, Alan Laudell talks to political analyst Joel Goldstein about Mitt Romney being the presumptive nominee and the focus shifting to his possible running mate.
I can't help but think, other than the McCain nomination of Sarah Palin, and we see how that went, that most presidential candidates, especially the ones who have actually taken power, have chosen for running mates not necessarily people who bring geographic presumed electoral advantage to the ticket, but actually people they thought they could govern with.
Well, I think there's been some of that. I think that it's not because they are indifferent to the political considerations of the choice. I think it's because increasingly presidential candidates have come to recognize that choosing somebody who is a plausible president is good politics, that you can't put somebody out there as your running mate who the public does not see as somebody who they could see sitting in the Oval Office.
Are you one of those that thinks after the initial boost that Sarah Palin actually dragged McCain down?
I think that's right. I mean, I think she helped him mobilize the base and introduce some excitement into his campaign initially, but ultimately I think she made it very difficult for him to appeal to the independents and the disgruntled Democrats who he needed to win. And it wasn't simply that people said, you know, that the people voted against Palin, but it was that by choosing Palin, McCain sent a message about who he was that people found less attractive than they had thought.
Well, let's look at the higher-profile candidates who would bring ethnic and gender pizzazz, one thing. South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, Senator Marco Rubio, Florida, who are playing it very cool. You've got Chris Christie, who doesn't bring that kind of gender-ethnic flair, but certainly has been seen, at least in the past, as a big draw for the Republican Party. What do you think of those three?
You know, I would just be very surprised if it's any one of those people. I think that you need somebody, and if you start with the idea that you need somebody who's a plausible president, the people you've mentioned have all been in sort of traditional theater positions for vice presidency for two or at most 3 years. That's roughly comparable to Spiro Agnew's experience or Sarah Palin's experience. It may be that one of those people really has what it takes, that they're the second coming of Abraham Lincoln and that they're ready for the bright lights of the national spotlight. But unless you're sure that they are, a presidential candidate takes a huge risk in choosing somebody like that who doesn't have the credentials, and unless they're able to really show themselves as really ready for prime time.
Up next, we talk about the passing of Mike Wallace, a big item of interest as we get into the week here on the Countdown.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
As you know, this program is devoted to what people are talking about in the world of talk radio and talk television. Lots more to choose from when it comes to the radio. But on TV, a lot of people are talking about the death of Mike Wallace. From MSNBC, Andrea Mitchell talked to Tom Brokaw about one of the most memorable interviews Wallace ever did.
You know, one of the most remarkable interviews that he ever did. Think back to 1979. You remember it so well. And we were in the middle of the hostage crisis, and he turns up in Tehran to interview the Ayatollah Khomeini, and this is the way the interview went.
President Sadat of Egypt, a devoutly religious man, a Muslim, says that what you are doing now is, quote, a disgrace to Islam. And he calls you, Imam, forgive me, his words, not mine, a lunatic.
Sadat states he is a Muslim, and we are not. He is not, for he compromises with the enemies of Islam. Sadat has united with our enemies.
You know, Tom, only Mike Wallace could get away with that, and the business of, forgive me, his words, not mine, that's classic Mike Wallace.
He did that a lot. I always thought that Mike made a very successful turn from being an actor and an entertainer into being a serious journalist. He wanted to do that in part because he wanted to pay tribute to his son Peter, who had died on a hiking trip in Greece, and he came back from trying to find his body to make a more serious turn in his life. But I think that the early training, the theatrical training, if you will, served Mike very well in those interviews on television, because he could pull it off in a way, and that was one of his techniques, was to say, forgive me, I, you know, these are the words of someone else.
Right.
But he never stopped coming after you, and part of the reason for that is that Mike knew that the audience was making an investment in what he was doing, and he didn't want to waste their time in the terms of what he was trying to get out of the interview. He always saw the interview as having a beginning, middle, and end, and that we should leave that interview with a sense of intellectual nourishment.
Talk host Tim Nestor and Joanne Paul with media analyst Ed Sarpoulis about the life and legacy of Wallace.
He was a person that could ask the tough questions again. We mentioned about what a disarming attitude, or what charm he had about him. Ask the tough questions and get answers.
Oh, he did. And I don't care if he was in Iran talking to somebody or dealing with the next general in the Vietnam War. He was who everybody went to for the tough questions to take them on directly. And I would say my most remembering life since the 60s has been Mike Wallace taking on the issues from John Ehrlichman to Watergate issues to even recently going to Iran. And even in his later years, yes, he was it.
Now, during the tribute to Mike Wallace at the beginning of Sunday's 60 Minutes on CBS, Morley Safer said Wallace had the ability to soften up villains and get the truth out of them.
Well, he could charm them into coming on 60 Minutes and, with his audacity, get them to reveal their villainy.
He asked the tough questions and smiled at you. That's why he was able to disarm them.
You know, and that's why, I mean, he could talk, like you said, to anyone. People we perceived as villains, Joanna, we came away.
Why did you say villains, Joanna? What's going on here?
You're the neighbors. You're so stoic over there, but we know better. But, I mean, he could get a little, just the smallest amount of humane nature out of somebody like that. Not saying Joanne is a villain by any stretch. She's glaring at me.
We already know that anyway. So that's wonderful. I would have to say the fact that he was also willing to look at himself and smile. If you look at the things he did with Johnny Carson, you know, he's no one to take it. Bottom line, he was willing to look at himself internally. He's not afraid to be, other than the lawsuit against him in the Vietnam War issue when he took on General, I can't remember right now, General skips my name. Other than that, he was willing to take on his own stuff. Even Kevorkian challenged him, and that was also in 60 Minutes, take me on. I mean, people wanted him to ask those questions because they knew that he was doing it because that was his job. He didn't have a vendetta or some kind of mission when he was on there interviewing him.
All right, so we've had a little time on that. Next up, we can't get away from Trayvon Martin, apparently. The talk radio countdown show on the Martin case up next.
0 to 60, I'm Bobby Owens. If you're a fan of Vipers, and I don't mean the slithering kind, you'll be pleased to know that the next generation of the classic American sports car is back and will debut at this year's New York International Auto Show. The all-new 2013 SRT Viper, formerly the Dodge Viper, has returned. Ralph Giel is president and CEO of the Chrysler Group's SRT street and racing technology brand.
The launch of the 2013 Viper proves that we simply could not let the performance icon of the Chrysler Group die. SRT was challenge to not just continue the legendary Viper, but to create a world-class supercar that would showcase the very best we have to offer.
Two new models of the iconic supercar will be hand-built in Detroit, the SRT Viper and the SRT Viper GTS.
The SRT Viper model offers a perfect blend of extreme performance that brings the driver as close to the machine as possible. The Viper GTS builds on the legendary performance of Viper with a 640 horsepower engine with 600 pounds of torque.
For more, visit drivesrt.com. That's 0 to 60 from Chrysler.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. First, she'll crawl. Then take her first baby steps. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school. I'll be watching her run down a soccer field. Staying up all night waiting for her to get home from her first date. Wincing when she steps on the gas pedal and then the brakes. Beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma. Or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Gather your family, friends, and co-workers and join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
If you are a sales professional and you love to help people and make money, stop everything and listen to me now. InspectorAudit.com is hiring brokers nationwide. InspectorAudit.com is the primary source for exposing all loan-related bank and servicing fraud. If you're passionate, driven to succeed, and you want to earn real money, then we want you. Call InspectorAudit.com right now at 855-552-9932. InspectorAudit.com, 855-552-9932. Commissions paid daily.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
We're halfway through the hour. Doug Steffen with a welcome back in to our Talk Radio review. And now we spend time talking about the Florida case of Trayvon Martin. Here, host Preston Scott and Eric Eggers talk about a march that took place in Florida over the weekend.
I believe we have a generation that just feels like they missed something because they weren't born to march in the 1960s. And they're trying to find anything to take part in, not really thinking about what it is they're actually doing. Perhaps you can assign to it the naivety that comes with youth, the misplaced idealism that happens to all of us at one time or another over some social cause or issue. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I can sit back in armchair quarterback and guess about it, But I think this is another example of it. When you look at this march, which featured 3 dozen to 40 people, that's the number of college students that packed into a church on Sunday morning in Sanford, where a Sanford city commissioner spoke. Their purpose, they call themselves first Dream Defenders. And their purpose was to promote racial equality. And they're using the Trayvon Martin story as the backdrop. And they modeled their march after the historic civil rights march from Selma to Montgomery. I'm not sure that 38, 40 kids just kind of wandering around for no real discernible reason are going to quite gin up the support. But my question here is, how is it possible that you have students that feel the call to march to promote racial equality in the name of Trayvon Martin when, as time has gone by, there is no evidence that there's a racial component to this. The racial epithet, which allegedly was heard in the 911 call, has been debunked by analysis that said, it probably wasn't a racial epithet.
What are they saying it was?
They said it wasn't that. They said they've analyzed the tape. They've used high-end software to analyze the tape, and they said, no, it wasn't that. He did not utter a racial slur of any kind. And you combine that with finding out that, you know, George Zimmerman, who is Hispanic, that, in fact, he's devoted much of his life to mentoring kids that are minority students and helping them. You know, in other words, since the shooting forward, we've had, if anything, a removal of the racial component, but the most recent march is nothing but the racial component. How does that happen?
Is it fair to say that the racial component doesn't have to be geared towards the shooter, but I think, like, the power structures that haven't punished the shooter. I mean, whether or not the guy shot Trayvon Martin because he was a racist, I mean, shooting somebody because you're a racist isn't more of a crime than shooting somebody that didn't deserve to be shot anyway. And I think you can debunk the racial motivations from George Zimmerman, but I think that there's still absolutely a racial element in the idea from the people that are protesting that you've got these police chiefs, these state attorneys that don't view it as a serious offense when a young black child, a young black man, 17-year-old kid, get shot.
Here's host Ray Dunaway with media analyst Rich Hanley. They talk about the ways the news media has covered the Trayvon Martin case.
Do you want to explain what happened with this NBC tape? Because apparently it was the 911 call. Wasn't that what it was?
That's exactly right. And what the producer did was eliminate the dispatcher's question about the race of Trayvon Martin. And so the editor took that question out, which made it seem that Zimmerman was clearly racially profiling the young man. And so it altered the facts of the story. If you put that piece back in, which is a question from the dispatcher about the race of Trayvon Martin, it becomes a wholly different story. So the producer rightfully was dismissed because the facts of the story were altered in such a way as to change the meaning of the story and the perception ultimately of the audience.
Yeah, I mean, basically what happened was, and as you mentioned, you're saying, hey, this guy looks a little funny. I mean, he looks like he's on drugs or something. He's weird. The dispatcher goes, well, what is he, Latino or black or whatever? And he goes, well, he looks black. Well, they cut out that question, as you say.
Right.
And it was kind of like, this guy looks suspicious. He looks black or something like that. Totally changed the context of the conversation.
Oh, absolutely. And this is one of the problems of the hothouse media environment, and that the need to sort of create a really sharp edge to a story leads to mistakes like this, and in many cases it's worse than a mistake because it changes the whole meaning of the story. And you know, given America's history of race relations, it actually could be very damaging to someone's perception of it.
Now, of course, that horrible story out of Tulsa over the weekend, that
sure.
Race truly was an issue there.
As we turn the corner here, our attention goes to what you're paying at the pump. Skyrocketing fuel prices again. That's up next here on the Talk Radio Countdown.
What's your gym membership costing you? Do you even use it anymore? If you're looking to save some money and still stay in great shape, then here's a great offer from Total Gym. I have one. I use it every day. It's easy to set up. There's no weights to move around. I work out in 15 minutes a day, and I stay in great shape. And the best part is I don't have to leave my home to get a full intensive workout. So my friends at Total Gym want to make it real easy for you to get started. Pick up your cell phone right now, and you can try Total Gym risk-free for 30 days for just $49.95, and shipping is free. Save yourself some money while you stay in great shape. Ditch your gym membership. Order a Total Gym risk-free. You don't like it? Return it in 30 days. Call 800-460-1140, 800-460-1140, 800-460-1140, 800-460-1140.
You see and hear ad after ad about owning gold, but they raise more questions than they answer. That's why American Bullion has created a comprehensive free gold guide packed with unbiased information about gold as an investment. Get the facts before you buy. Call American Bullion now for your free copy of the gold guide at 800-456-7475. That's 800-456-7475. Are you tired of stressing out about the economy and ready to take control of your retirement funds? American Bullion has a precise, tax-free, and hassle-free system to convert your existing IRA or former 401k into a gold IRA. That's why they're the leader in gold IRA rollovers. It's all spelled out in the free American Bullion Gold Guide that answers all of your questions in plain and simple English. Call for your free copy today at 800-456-7475. That's 800-456-7475. American Bullion. 800-456-7475.
2012 marks the third year April has been declared Parkinson's Disease Awareness Month. Activists for Parkinson's Disease, or PD, hope to help spread awareness of this progressive neurological disorder and raise funds to better understand this disease. The month's biggest event is the Parkinson's Unity Walk in New York City on April 28th. Here to comment on the significance of community action is PD patient and patient advocate Gail Smith.
After being diagnosed 7 years ago, I decided that it was important for me to become an active member of the PD community. Having a strong support system, an invested healthcare team, and an effective medication regimen has allowed for me to continue doing some of the things I love, while also being able to advocate in the community for better understanding of this debilitating disease.
If you're attending the Parkinson's Unity Walk, be sure to stop by the red carpet at the Teva booth to share how you support the PD community. For more information about PD, visit www.parkinsonshealth.com.
Come on. Most kids resent a dad who's constantly pushing them.
Let's go.
But not Rick Hoyt.
We can do this.
For years, Rick has been pushed, pulled, and carried by his dad, and he loves it.
Here they come.
That's because Rick, a wheelchair quadriplegic since birth, and his father, Dick, together have competed in over 65 marathons. So when you see Dick Hoyt pushing his son around, you're witnessing extraordinary devotion. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Talk Radio in review, and again, the price of gasoline going up, so what's the problem here? Who's paying? I mean, it's the same old stuff, isn't it? Bill Hemmer here talking to Stephen Moore from the Wall Street Journal.
On Catalina Island off California, some folks are already paying $7 a gallon there, and that's just for regular. That's still a long way from the national average of $3.93, but the gap could easily close, we are told. And Stephen Moore, senior economic writer for the Wall Street Journal, good morning to you. Do you see
morning,
it going
Bill.
Higher or stabilizing now? What do you see, Stephen?
You know, every time I think the news can't get worse on gas prices, the news does get worse. And this story about $7 gallon gasoline in Catalina is very troubling. And, you know, in the market that I live in, Northern Virginia, we're already paying very close to $5 a gallon. By the way, think about what that means if you're paying $5, $6, even $7 a gallon for gasoline. That means for a lot of people, they're paying $100 Bill to fill up the tank. And that is a huge dent in the family budget. And now I think the president has something else to worry about, which is rising prices. You know, gasoline prices are usually kind of a predictor of where general prices are going to go with other types of things like food and clothing.
And when they go up, rarely do they come back down. You know, I mean, the price sticks. But listen, this is what's happened over the last three administrations. Under the Clinton years, drilling on federal lands, the permits that were allowed were up 58%. George Bush, 116%. In the current administration, they're down 36%. What the president says, though, is that we're drilling more than we ever have. Is that true?
You know, most of the drilling, it is true that we're drilling more now than ever before, but Bill, almost all of that drilling is going on private lands that don't require government permits. What is also true is that on public lands, on federal lands, where so much of this oil and gas lies, that's where the drilling is way down. And that's so depressing because, you know, given how high gasoline prices are, just think about this, Bill. If we had been drilling over the last 3 or 4 years in the Outer Continental Shelf, offshore, if we were drilling in places like Alaska and in places like Colorado, we could be producing a lot more oil and gas. And I do believe that that would bring pressure for the Saudis and OPEC to bring prices down. Maybe not a huge amount, but I think it helps the economy the more we can drill.
You're arguing more supply would bring the price down.
Yeah, but I want to make another point in fairness to the president. The other factor that's going on here that's causing these high gas prices, other than obviously the turmoil that's going on in the Middle East, is we do have a very expansive monetary policy with these record low interest rates, Bill, as you know. And one of the effects of flooding the economy with money is to make commodities like oil and gas more expensive. So Ben Bernanke has to share some of the blame here, too. There's a cost to those low interest rates that Ben Bernanke is imposing on the economy.
Can you imagine $7 gasoline? Good God. Host Brian Freeman with Jill Schlesinger from CBS Money Watch about the impact these high prices are having on the economy.
This could be the quarter that will end the 9-quarter streak of earnings growth. Why, Jill?
Well, you know, I think it's pretty amazing to think that we have grown our earnings over the past 9 quarters, you know, 2.5 years straight, basically, of companies being able to make more money than they did in the previous year. Now, a lot of that has to do with something very simple. Mm-hmm. When you lay off a ton of people, you're going to make more money as soon as the economy rebounds just a little bit. Now we're coming into the part of the cycle where companies have to hire more people. That's a good thing for the rest of us.
Sure is.
But the problem is they're also that adds to the cost of running the company. It reduces the bottom line. And companies are also paying more for the same thing we're paying more for, energy.
Yeah, the gas prices this morning, I looked, they've gone up again.
Yeah, and I see that in the triangle. Mm-hmm. You taught me how to say that. I'm not that cool that I would know how to do that. 391. Now, you are away from the all-time high, which was back in 2008. You know, say the 15 cents, 16 cents away from that all-time high.
Right.
The problem is that, you know, we're in this part of the year where seasonally prices start to go higher between February and May. Refineries, they reduce their output to repair their equipment and make cleaner, more expensive blend for the summer. Now, usually we've seen the annual increase has been 27% on average during that time. Well, we've already been up by 14% since February 1st, so people are a little nervous that we're going to see even higher gas prices, but hopefully by the end of May, things start to tick down, people get relief at the pumps.
I redid my budget over the weekend, and I've had to allot $5,000 for two vehicles for gas at $4 a gallon.
Yeah.
And that's affecting everyone. That's a huge number.
I mean, it's amazing to me that you're thinking, is it 5,000 from where? I mean, like you're saying, in other words, if it were last year, was it 3,000? Because it can't be 5,000 more than last year.
No, it isn't.
Right?
No. Right.
So let's do a little of the reality check here. It's $5,000 sounds like a horrible number, but if last year was 3,500, 1,500 is a big number, but it's not as big a number as 5,000.
So
you got to be a little bit clear about it. You know, it's the increase. It's a bummer, but if you're really clear about it and you can budget for it, that's good. The other thing I just want to point out is that when people are looking at the gas pumps, are they actually changing the way that they spend? So far, they haven't. When you look at the data, we see that consumer spending has continued. So I find that fascinating. We're basically freaking out about it and complaining about it, but we're not changing the way we spend.
I'm changing the way I drive. I'm planning better.
That's smart. That's great, actually.
We'll get everybody to do that, and maybe they'll all come through.
That's right. So we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Here's Radio Man Arrington Thompson talking to Daniel Weiss from the Center for American Progress about the reasons gas prices keep going up.
One of the things that we've seen over the last 3 or 4 months seems to be a pattern that we've been in for the last 4 or 5 years where, for seemingly no particular reason, gas prices begin to spike. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, well, first, the most important thing about gasoline prices is to understand that 3/4 of the price of a gallon of gas is based on the price of oil. Other factors include refining costs, marketing, and transportation. But the big cost in gasoline is the price of oil. So when the price of oil goes up, the cost price of gasoline goes up. Last year, we had the highest average oil price in a long time, and the oil prices continue to rise this year. Now, here's something interesting that's going on. The United States is producing a lot more of its own oil. We're importing less of our oil, and we're using less oil, yet prices continue to rise. Now, why is that? The prices are rising because the oil price is set on a worldwide market. In fact, the Associated Press did an assessment of 30 years of data and found no matter how much oil we produce at home, it has no impact on the price of gasoline that we pay because the price of oil is set on a world market controlled by the OPEC cartel. However, within that, the big five oil companies have been taking a lot of steps that actually end up raising oil prices. They've been closing refineries. They have been exporting more gasoline to other countries. They have been producing less oil. All of those things can help increase the price of gasoline.
So let me get this straight. They are closing refineries? Explain that to me. How can they do that?
Well, these are privately owned refineries, and some big companies like ConocoPhillips and Sunoco have already closed a few refineries in the Northeast and will be closing, could be closing one more big one sometime this summer, which, if that happens, will likely raise the price of gasoline on the East Coast.
Up next on the countdown, the shooting in Oklahoma. We'll hear from a couple of different programs on this in a few minutes on the countdown.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy 3 or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same-day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
The world of talk on the radio and on television and in the new media, and that includes Friday's shooting in Oklahoma. Talk host Joe Kelly with Tulsa Police Chief Chuck Jordan about the arrests made over the weekend in the shooting, 3 dead and 2 injured.
Chief Jordan, congratulations to you and to your fine team of officers and detectives for your quick work on finding and identifying and apprehending two suspects.
Thank you, Joe.
I mean, you've got a feeling, as I watch this news conference, both the Saturday news conference and the Sunday news conference, I oddly felt pride in our community. And I say oddly, you can't account for why you feel the way that you do, but at one of our most difficult hours, one of our most difficult times, I still felt pride. Did you feel the same?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The overwhelming response from our community as far as helping us solve this crime, the law enforcement family of several different jurisdictions and agencies that came together with a passion to track these guys down, you can't help but feel proud.
Chief, is there anything new this morning since your news conference yesterday?
No, not really. Obviously, they're going through the criminal justice system now, and they're going to be arraigned this morning. And now the real tedious part of our job happens, the grind where we connect all the dots and put all these cases, case information, all the evidence together to present to the district attorney's office.
You're comfortable. I know that there was this was addressed yesterday in your news conference, but to what level are you comfortable that there aren't any additional suspects that are wanted?
We're still looking into that. That's sometimes a long, again, long, laborious process. There's always people on the periphery of any crime, and we're our investigators today, and we'll probably throughout the week be investigating that.
The suspects, are they cooperating? Have either of them confessed to their crimes?
Joe, that's not something I can get into. Again, that's part of investigative details, and I just it wouldn't be appropriate for me to comment on that.
Here are our hosts Mike Violette and Ken Altshuler talking to ABC's Jim Ryan about the latest developments in the arrests of these two men in Oklahoma.
So what's the latest with the arrest of these two men in Tulsa for these shootings?
Well, it looks like it may have been as much revenge as racial. The two suspects who were in custody, a guy named Jacob England and another one named Alvin Watts, they've been looking at the background of these two fellows and have realized that one of them, the 19-year-old England, had posted things on Facebook that seemed to indicate that he was furious about the killing of his father 2 years ago to the day since the shootings that happened in Tulsa. Police are suspecting that this was somehow a motive behind these shootings, that the killings of three people, the wounding of several others yesterday. In that Facebook post, he used a racial slur that a black man had killed his father and that it was hard for him to keep from going off.
Jim, do you know anything about that specific killings 5 or 6 years ago?
Well, it involves, his father apparently was trying to prevent a burglary, somebody trying to get into his daughter's apartment. This apparent home invasion situation that his father had stepped in on, and his father was shot and killed. But that's all the police have said about that incident right now.
You know, that his father, the killer of his father, or the person who shot his father, got 6 years. So it does imply that it was not obviously premeditated murder. But the police are not really talking a whole lot about that situation.
No, you're right. So it's not a case of this guy gunning for the actual person who killed his father. That guy, as you said, is in jail. He's serving a 6-year sentence on a weapons charge, not necessarily a homicide charge, but a weapons charge. So he wasn't gunning specifically for that person, but apparently was angry at blacks in general because of what this black suspect did to his father.
Let's get this thing clarified, Jim. Five people were shot, three died?
Yes, correct. The other two are expected to recover, although they were quite seriously injured. This all happened kind of on the northern side of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And several of the shootings, four of them, were actually just within a couple of blocks of each other. The other one was about a quarter of a mile away.
So these five men were not together?
No, they weren't. They apparently didn't even know each other. These were people who were walking.
Just random.
Yeah, by the way, who were found in several locations, one near a car wash, another in front of a funeral home, just people randomly walking down the street.
What is the connection by the two men? They were roommates, but they're quite an age difference. Did they know each other historically, or are they saying what their connection was?
That's apparently it. They were roommates. They were friends, apparently. You're right. England is 19 years old. The other guy, Alvin Watts, is 32 years old. And what exactly their background and was in this, and why apparently one was willing to help another in a horrific crime spree like this, we really don't know. Obviously they're both going to be charged. This will all come to trial, apparently, assuming there's a true bill in the case, and they learn much more in the coming months about going through the minds of these two men, one the suspect and the other apparently an accomplice.
More information about the items on the countdown today and yesterday in the Talk Radio Countdown Show section at DougSteffen.com.